welcome to another episode of Making Disciples. My name is Chris and I am your host. Hey, it's wonderful to be back. We've had a little bit of a break. I've been away at Spring Harvest and getting Easter done as a church. So we've had a bit of a pause. So I hope that you're ready to go with this term and the Making Disciples podcast. I'm looking forward to it. We've got interviews with some interesting people this term, and I am really thrilled to have pinned some of these people down to be able to spend half an hour with them to talk about discipleship. So over the coming weeks, you will see and hear more about who some of those guests are. But today, we're going to jump in with a slight continuation of last term. We ended in episode 203, we ended talking about the Bible. And this is episode 204. We're going to continue talking about the Bible. So I was recently having a chat with someone and they said to me that they don't bother reading the Old Testament because this is boring, it's dull, and it's got no bearing on their life. And they said that, you know, to be honest, you just need the New Testament because it's all about Jesus. And so they were like, I just don't read the Old Testament, there's no point to it. And I was going, no, that's just not the case at all. And sometimes to really unlock what is being said in the New Testament, you've just got to know what's being said in the Old Testament. And things are referenced. And there's different teaching mechanisms that we see in the New Testament where they're essentially quoting from things in the Old Testament. So to understand the New Testament, you know, you can get so much more out of it when you've read the Old Testament. But also, the Old Testament is just this incredible, it's like an arrow that is just pointing to Jesus all the way through the Old Testament. So right from the beginning of the Old Testament with the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, all of these books are pointing towards the Messiah, Jesus. And some of them, you see Jesus appearing in them, like he's there in and amongst the story. Or the story is pointing towards Jesus prophetically, and you're meant to see the characters as little pointers towards Jesus, who then comes in the flesh. So what I want to do in today's episode is really just walk you through the Old Testament books of the Bible, just showing, you know, how Jesus is seen in those books. So in some ways, this is going to be quite slow. I'm just methodically going to go through all the books of the Old Testament, just pointing out how in that book Jesus is seen. So it will be slightly thorough. So you may want to take out a pen and paper and you might want to kind of jot this down. And then when you read those books of the Bible, you'll be like, yeah, I know where to find Jesus here. I can see how Jesus fits into this story here, or how we're meant to see this character as a Jesus-like character that's pointing towards Christ coming as the ultimate redeemer and sacrifice. So I hope this just helps you see how the Old Testament is pointing us all towards Jesus. It's like, I would describe it as what's called as a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So you see something in the Old Testament and you think, well, this is just, you know, how we read it. And that's like the Bible's going, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. This is actually about Jesus. So let me walk you through this and just unpack different ways of seeing in the text where you're meant to see Christ in the text. Friends, you know, welcome. If we've never met before, my name is Chris Rogers. If you're one of our new listeners, having joined us at Spring Harvest, you are very, very warm and welcome to you. There is 204 episodes now for you to explore. You know, do pick and choose through them. You know, essentially the episodes are broken up into some episodes about head, some about heart, and some about hands. Today's episode is a head one. It's like understanding more about the Bible, but hopefully it will make your heart go, wow, Jesus is right here in the text all the way through. So hopefully it will really inspire you. So let's jump in as we talk about Jesus in the whole Bible. So here we go. Jesus in the whole Bible. Now, to understand what we're talking about here, I've got four words I want to share with you: metaphor, image, story, archetype, or allusion. So what we have in the Old Testament is these different moments where you've got these nudge, nudge, wink, winks towards at Jesus in the New Testament. So you as we read the Old Testament, you know, start to see these little nudges and winks that are actually pointing like arrows to Jesus in the New Testament. Now, we understand Jesus was there at the beginning, the middle, and the end. As Revelation says, he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's the beginning and the end. And therefore, we see Jesus woven throughout the whole of Scripture. But in some places, the way it's Jesus is woven into Scripture is through what would either be a metaphor, an image, a story archetype, or an allusion. So a metaphor is a figure of speech that in some ways gives you this vivid imagery of something. So, for example, a metaphor, you know, Jesus is the lion and the lamb. So you get this picture in the Old Testament of this sacred lion and this sacred lamb, and that Jesus, we now look at that lion and the lamb, and we understand the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of the Sacrifice is pointing towards Jesus. Jesus is the Lion and the Lamb. So you have these things called metaphors. Just an image. In the Old Testament, you have this imagery that is set up either in picture form or word form, where an image is there to try and point you towards. So, for example, the image of the temple in Jerusalem is this place of worship. You know, so we as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're seen as the temple of God, the body of Christ. So these, you have these images that kind of get used. You have what's called a story archetype. So these saviors, a savior person who comes in where you think, you know, nothing can be done, and someone comes in as savior. So you have these story archetypes, of which Jesus would be one in the Old Testament. And then you have this thing called allusion. And this is where a story is being told, and you think the story is being told about one person, but actually it's actually telling us about another person. So I'll give you a really good example of allusion. Story of Jacob and Esau. In the book of Genesis, the story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau, born only minutes apart, but Esau is the hunter-gatherer. He's the perfect son. Jacob is the least favored son. And, you know, he's not a hunter-gatherer. He's not somebody who you would want to carry on the family blessing, the least favored son. But what happens is Jacob ends up dressing as the brother Esau. He puts on the clothing of Esau. And as he approaches his father, Isaac, the father reaches out and he touches the clothing, which actually belonged to Esau. And he smells the clothing and he smells Esau. But he can hear the voice of Jacob, but he can smell and touch his son Esau. So the father reaches out and blesses Jacob with the family blessing as if he was Esau. So Esau receives the family blessing dressed as the chosen son. And it's a picture of Jacob and Esau, but actually it's a picture of you and I and Jesus. Jesus is the favored son. We clothe ourselves in the favored son, and therefore we get to approach the father and receive the family blessing as if we were Jesus. So there we have this allusion. It's alluding to something else. So you have these four kind of picture, different ways of communicating about Jesus in the Old Testament: metaphors, images, story archetypes, or allusions. So let me fly through this then. So I've got a long list here of where we find Jesus in the Old Testament. And so some of them are metaphors, some of them are pictures, some of them are story archetypes, some of them we call allusions. So let's go through these fast. Genesis. In Genesis, we see Jesus is the Word of God. You know, as John says, the Word was made flesh. And we see God's Word spoken in Genesis. So we see Jesus as the Word is the one that created the heavens and the earth. So in Genesis, we see Jesus as the words of God being spoken, making and creating, and the heavens and earth were made by the words of Jesus. So in Jesus, in Genesis, we have Jesus, the creator, his words being spoken. In the Exodus, we have Jesus is the Passover lamb. So the lamb that the blood was painted on the doorpost of the universe to say death was not welcome in those households. God's people did that when in Egypt. So when death came, death wouldn't get them, but death would pass by. Well, Jesus is the Passover lamb, and he does the same for us as his blood is now painted on the doorpost of the universe. Leviticus, Jesus in Leviticus is the high priest. He's the representative of the tabernacle. He is the lampstand. He is the showbread. He is the sacrifice on the altar. So in Leviticus, we see that Jesus is the high priest and he's the sacrifice. that's alluded to and pointed to. In the book of Numbers, Jesus is the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. How do you say that, Chris? Well, what is it that Jesus says in the temple in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles when they had a giant menorah candle that represented that fire that led God's people through the wilderness? What does Jesus say? I am the light of the world. So that the light that led God's people in the book of Numbers through the night as this fire, Jesus says, I am the light. So that the light that leads God's people through the wilderness is Jesus, the light of the world. Joshua, Jesus is the commander of the army of the Lord, leading his people into the promised land. And you know, Jesus is described as the commander of the army. Book of Judges, Jesus is the true and final judge. Yet all of these judges, but it's all pointing to the illusion of there being one judge that will be the judger of all. So that was Jesus. In the book of Ruth, Jesus is the kinsman redeemer, the one who takes Ruth and takes her in and makes her a part, adopts her into the family and looks after her as his own. In the book of Ruth, Jesus is the depiction of the kinsman redeemer, the one that redeems and brings the lonely into his family. The story there is of a woman who's widowed and the kinsman redeemer adopts her into the family, and that's what Jesus does with us. 1 and 2 Samuel, Jesus is the anointed shepherd king. Let's just talk about 1 Samuel 17 for a second. One of my favourite Bible passages, David and Goliath. So just spend a moment on this one. So yes, throughout the book of Samuel, we see a shepherd who's looking after his sheep. He's the perfect shepherd, all pointing to Jesus. But then you've got the story of David and Goliath. And many times I hear that story preached about where David is the young boy who stands in front of Goliath, the challenger, and everybody else is scared and hiding. David comes as this young lad to challenge Goliath. And I've heard it preached, look, with God, you can stand in front of the challenger because you will fight with God's strength, not your own strength. And we place ourselves in as David. Friends, I don't think we're meant to do that at all. I think David is actually meant to be Jesus. And I think Goliath is actually meant to be Satan. Why can you say that, Chris? Well, actually, we're told in the scriptures in Samuel that Satan is wearing armor and that this armor has got snakes all over it, snake skin armor. So I think we're meant to see Goliath as Satan, the snake from the Garden of Eden, who comes to challenge Jesus. The evil one looks more powerful than this young lad, but then the young lad has more power than you could ever imagine. So I don't think you're meant to see yourself as David. I think you're meant to see Jesus as David, Satan as Goliath. Well, where are we in the story then? Well, we're the quivering, scared ones at the edge, hiding away because we daren't approach the challenger. So I think in the story of David and Goliath, we're actually meant to see David as Jesus. So there's a really good example of where, you know, traditional story and just the clue that Goliath is wearing armor that's got snake scales on it. I think that's meant to give us a clue, but we kind of missed that. So in the book of Samuel 1 and 2, Jesus is the anointed shepherd king, the one that challenges the challenger. 1 and 2 Kings. In the book of Kings, Jesus is the righteous King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All these kings come and go, but Jesus is the righteous King. And all these kings are meant to tell us that we can try leading on our own, but we're never going to be the ultimate. There is a King that stands more glorious than all the kings. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, Jesus is the faithful restorer of the kingdom. In the book of Ezra, Jesus is the faithful restorer of the temple. So Ezra the prophet is all about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And for Ezra, Jesus is the Messiah figure that comes to restore the temple. And that's very similar to the book of Nehemiah. So in Nehemiah, Nehemiah has gone to Jerusalem to rebuild Jerusalem. And in this story, the Messiah, Jesus, is the redeeming rebuilder of the wall. So in the way that Nehemiah has gone to rebuild this city, it's meant to point us towards Jesus, the Jesus that would destroy the temple but then rebuild it. In the same way that Nehemiah is going to rebuild, Jesus would rebuild the temple, but he would do it after 3 days. Then you've got the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, Jesus is the sovereign protector of his people in the way that Esther defends her people. It's alluding to Jesus, who would come and challenge the systems and the powers of the day to protect his people. The book of Job. Actually, in the book of Job, Jesus is the living redeemer and the true comforter. So in the whole book of Job, they're debating, where is God? And all the debate, we see that there is God is coming to redeem and to comfort and defend his people. Therefore, the book of Job is alluding to the Messiah that would come and do the same. In the Psalms, actually, the Psalms have got so much metaphors and so many pictures in there. But the Psalms, Jesus is the good shepherd who hears our cries, the perfect shepherd who comes and hears the cries of his people. In the book of Proverbs, there is all of this wisdom in Proverbs, and it's kind of alluding to the wisdom of God, and that the Messiah would come and the Messiah would have all this wisdom. And what we see in the book Proverbs is that this wisdom has a name, and his name is Jesus. Ecclesiastes is all about meaningless, everything is meaningless until you find hope in God. Well, actually, the hope in God is Jesus. Jesus is the meaning of life. So the whole point of Ecclesiastes is, without God in your life, without Jesus in your life, then everything is just going to be pointless and meaningless and will actually be worthless in the long run. And then you've got the book of Song of Solomon. And in the book of Song of Solomon, Jesus is the loving bridegroom coming for his bride. So the whole picture of the book of Song of Solomon is that there's a bride and a bridegroom, and that the loving bridegroom is coming to defend and take care of the bride. And we see that echoed in the New Testament as Jesus comes as the groom for his bride. At the end of Revelation, there is a wedding banquet where the groom is coming for his bride. The first miracle that Jesus does in the book of John is water into wine at a wedding. He blesses a wedding. So this wedding imagery is all the way through the scriptures, particularly in this book of Song of Solomon. And you're meant to see the bridegroom as Jesus and the bride as the people of God. And then you've got Isaiah, riddled full of Jesus, one of the books that has the most about Jesus in it. So Jesus is the promised Messiah, is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah talks about the Messiah as the suffering servant, who's wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. You can't read the book of Isaiah without seeing Jesus all the way through that book. Then the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, it talks about the potter. Jesus is the potter, the one that takes the broken pots, the one that takes the broken clay, the damaged clay, and makes something new. He's also described in the book of Jeremiah as the righteous branch, that from him there would be life and fruitfulness. So Jeremiah points to Jesus as the perfect potter, and as the branch of the tree that would bear fruit. Lamentations depicts there as a Messiah that is weeping, as a weeping prophet. And therefore, in the book of Lamentations, we see Jesus as this weeping prophet that's crying out for the injustice in the world. Then you have the book of Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, Jesus is the river of life, the one that is flowing life to all his people, bringing healing to the nations. You've got the picture of the valley of dry bones, where the bones are coming back to life, depicting Jesus, the resurrector, who will resurrect all dead things. The book of Daniel. Jesus in the book of Daniel is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. You have the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and we're told that while they're in the furnace being burnt to death, a fourth one, like the Son of Man, standing in the fiery furnace. So in the book of Daniel, Jesus is there present in the sufferings of his people as they're burning to death, giving their lives because of their faith in Yahweh. An amazing book of Daniel where you just see Jesus at work and in amongst that book, but also particularly this moment in the furnace. Then you have the book of Hosea. Jesus is the ever faithful husband pursuing his unfaithful bride. So in the book of Hosea, it's the story of a prophet who marries a unfaithful woman, an unfaithful prostitute, and she is married to the prophet, but yet keeps running off and sleeping with other men. And in the story, we kind of come to realize as we read it that Jesus is the faithful husband who's got a wife who will just keep prostituting herself to other men, but yet he's still there waiting for her. And we are the woman who prostitutes herself to all these other gods, but yet Jesus is waiting for us. So in Hosea, Jesus is the ever faithful husband pursuing his unfaithful bride. Right, are you ready? Do you need to pause for a moment? Are you getting all of this? Because we're now going to approach the book of Joel. So in the book of Joel, Jesus is the restorer of what the locusts have eaten. So in the book of Joel, the locusts have come to strip and take away. They're eating the harvest. There is nothing left. And yet Jesus is the restorer of what the locusts have eaten and taken away. And he is the one who will pour his spirit onto his people, that his people would receive the Holy Spirit because he has commissioned it. Then you've got the book of Amos. Jesus is the burden bearer and the true restoration. So in the book of Amos, another prophetic book, Jesus is the one that comes to carry the burden of his people to bring full and true restoration. So what is being alluded to in the prophecy is the Messiah coming, but we know that Messiah is Jesus. It's the book of Obadiah. Jesus is the judge of all the earth and he is mighty to save. He is the Messiah that is coming as judge and as saviour. Then you have the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, Jesus is the salvation of all the land. So Jonah is running away because he doesn't want everyone to receive the salvation, and he's running away from Nineveh. And God takes Jonah back on a journey, gets swallowed by the whale, is in the whale for 3 days, gets spat up on the beach, and Jonah goes and preaches then to the people of Nineveh and is healed. So Jesus is the salvation of all the lands, not just the ones that we want to pick and choose. And he's he is the prophet that is cast out into the storm, that spends 3 days in the depths, is buried Jonah is the whale, Jesus is buried in the tomb, and on the third day, death coughs up Jesus, and Jesus leads his people to freedom. So Jonah and Jesus, you know, these archetypes of the Savior that gets swallowed by death, but then spat out, and he leads his people to freedom. Micah, Jesus is the promised Messiah that was going to be born in Bethlehem. So you have the prophecy in that book of the Messiah coming from Bethlehem. Nahum, well, it says in Nahum that Jesus is the avenger of God's elect, that he is the one that's going to come and save. It's a prophecy of the Messiah coming and the Savior coming. Habakkuk. In Habakkuk, Jesus is the reason for rejoicing and our strength, even when the fields are empty. Again, so these are all what we call the minor prophets, prophetical books that are pointing towards Jesus. So Habakkuk, Jesus is the reason for the rejoicing, and he's our strength when everything has gone wrong, when the fields are empty. Zephaniah, Jesus is the preserver and the restorer of his remnant people. So Jesus will come to preserve and to restore his remnant people, and he comes to restore his kingdom. So the Messiah again is coming. So all of the minor prophets are all about Messiah coming. So it's very easy to kind of pinpoint Jesus in these ones. Haggai, Jesus is the desire of all nations. It's what all the nations are looking for. Last two books, the Old Testament. Zechariah, Jesus is the cleansing fountain and the pierced son with whom every eye on earth will one day behold, it says. So again, about the Messiah, it's about his death and the restoration of all things. And then one of my favourites in Malachi. So in Malachi, it describes Jesus as the Son of Righteousness, and that when the Son of Righteousness comes, then there will be healing in his wings. And when you see the story of the woman that's been bleeding for 13 years that comes and touches the hem of Jesus' garment, that's because it was believed that when the Messiah came, there would be healing found in the hem of his garment. Because it said in Malachi that when the Son of Righteousness comes, there will be healing in his wings. So the edges of his garment, well, the edges of his wings. So the belief was that when Messiah came, there would be healing if you touched the hem of his garment. So that's why the woman reaches out. She touches the hem of the garment because she believes, she's read Malachi and understands that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, where there'll be healing in his wings. So she reaches out and touches him and she's healed. So in the book of Malachi, he is the righteous one with healing in his wings. So when she does that, she touches the hem of his garment and she's healed. It's all about affirming that Jesus is the one that is spoken of in the book of Malachi. So there you got this bit of a whistle-stop tour there through the Old Testament. But each of these books is just pointing towards Jesus. So what I'd love to encourage you to do is read the Old Testament. You know, please, you don't need to read hours and end and hours and end and hours and end. Just reading bits of it and trying to work out, you know, how does this passage that you're reading ultimately point to Jesus? How is it a metaphor for Jesus? How is it an image of Jesus? How is it kind of this archetypal person or an archetypal story, you know, the story of a Messiah figure? You know, how does that point to Jesus? Or is there an allusion to, like that story of Jacob and Esau, that's alluding to Jesus and us and how we clothe ourselves in the favoured son's clothing? So what I would say is, as you read the Old Testament, you're looking essentially to ask the question, is where do I see Jesus in this? Now, it may well be that as you're reading line for line, you are not going to find Jesus in every single line, in the sense that Jesus is there, but it's not massively clear how it applies. But through chapter to chapter, you will be seeing Jesus woven into these books, as you see Jesus as this Passover lamb, or you see Jesus as the Lion of Judah. So my invitation to you would be, as you read the Old Testament, where are you seeing these images, these metaphors, these archetypal images, or these allusions of Jesus? Get it highlighted and write it down, because then there'll be times when you see that in the New Testament and you'll go, oh, hang on, I've already read a story like this in the Old Testament, and that Old Testament story will help you unpack something that's happening in the New Testament. Paul does this quite a lot, actually, in his letters, where he essentially nicks ideas from the Old Testament. If we were to realize where they were from, we'd see some of the deeper truths of what he's alluding to. But because we don't read the Old Testament that much, we don't necessarily see them that quick. So there is a bit of a whistle-stop tour of the Old Testament. Yes, we do see Jesus woven throughout the Old Testament. He's not just hidden, he's there. It's like this golden thread that runs through the entire Old Testament. And the question for us is, where do I see Jesus in this passage? How does this passage link to Jesus? How is it pointing me to Jesus as the amazing Messiah? So that's my encouragement to you, is go looking for imagery or metaphors or archetypes or allusions to Jesus in the Old Testament, and just recognize where they're pointing to in the New Testament. Where do we see this played out in the New Testament? How is this alluding to something that's there? I'd love to encourage you to do that. Keep your eyes open for where Jesus is in the Old Testament. Friends, until next time, grace and peace. Have a blessed week, and I hope you found that interesting as we looked at where is Jesus in the Old Testament. Until next time, grace and peace, and have a fantastic week.